Denver. Denver Hutt was on the show several months ago. But remind our audience again what the speakeasy is and even, you know, how it came about.
Well, the speakeasy, well, there's sort of like three origin stories for the speakeasy, and I won't go through all of them. But my origin story was that I recognized the need for a clubhouse in Broad Ripple for all of my tech friends. And I went to Christian Anderson and I said, "Hey, Christian, I think we need to partner on a clubhouse." I found a location in downtown Broad Ripple that was about 1,600 square feet. And I said, "For $2,000 a month, you and I split this. Our teams can use it. We'll give access to people like Matt Hunkler and, you know, other people in the tech scene. And we'll just hang out and have, you know, beers after work and talk and, you know, make this a little clubhouse for the tech scene." And he's like, "Oh, that's awesome. I love it." So, by the way, these guys are thinking about this. And that was Dave Castor and Andy Clark. And then Eric Tobias from iGo Digital, now acquired by Exact Target, got involved. And then TechPoint was like, "Well, we have a spaces initiative." And so Mark Hill and Jim Jay got involved. And we all said, "All right, let's get together and figure this out." Meanwhile, Developer Town happened. And they bought that building. And it was like, "Okay, we've got a space for you." And at first, we're like, "No, we don't really want to. That's bigger than we thought." But they sold us on it, and I'm glad they did. And Develop Indie came along and said, "Hey, we're going to help make this happen." And they put in a chunk of money. I mean, they saw the potential, and I got to give props to the mayor and the mayor in the city. Michael Huber was a huge early supporter. Amber over there as well. That whole team stepped up to the bat and made it happen. And then we had everybody just kind of pitch in anything they could. I went and bought furniture all day at Nordstrom's when it went out of business. And, you know, everybody just kind of pitched in.
I want to remind you that you're listening to Spotlight Indianapolis. This week, we're shining the spotlight on NICE grants and other community building ideas. Jeb Banner is my guest. So,
I don't know if I answered the question. What is it? What is the speakeasy?
Well, it's a very cool space. And it's a not-for-profit organization.
Right.
And there's a membership involved.
Right.
But what's the process?
We call it like a Moose Lodge for geeks. You know, it's similar to being a member of a Moose Lodge in the sense that you have a special place you can go and hang out with other members. But it's used so much by the general public, and there's people that go through those doors every day that are meeting with members. So if you're a member, you could bring your entire team and use the conference room. So it's used in a very open way by the community. You know, there's something happening there almost every day. But the goal of it really is, the mission statement is to grow up the indie tech scene. And by grow up, we mean to help it mature, help it kind of move beyond just the startups into more stable businesses, trying to create an incubator is not the right word because it's a specific connotation in the tech space, but to create a space. I often say we're the soil, we're not the seeds, but the seeds come into the soil and they grow. And we have created, I think, a very healthy climate for growth.
And I mean, my concept is, from having been there a couple of times, that it's almost like a bump into environment as well.
Very much.
You have the seeds bumping into each other. What are you doing? What are you working on? I have a problem. I don't even know you, but, you know, part of the type of people who are there, people seem to be very open, very curious, and
yes. So we are pretty careful about vetting members, and there's a process they go through. They come to sort of a potential member is invited to come work during the day at some point. They're given different times they could come work, and other members are sort of interacting with them and seeing if they're a good fit. And, you know, that's tricky sometimes, but there's been a couple situations where it's been tough, but, you know, the idea is that we want to have a good, concurrency of usage, but not an overusage, because it happens sometimes. Like when we were there for our factory week recently, I was like, next time we do this, our team is going to be too big to come to speakeasy, because when we were there on top of the current load, it was crazy, right? To have like 25 people from Smallbox and then the normal 30 or 40 people that use the speakeasy. It was, once you hit around 50 in that space at one time, unless it's an event, it starts to lose its appeal. I'll put it that way. It gets noisy and chaotic. But coming there on an average day, there's 20, 30, 40 people milling about. You meet some of the most talented, interesting people in town.
I want to shift gears just a little bit because I do want to get your insight on another community, economic community development issue of that you've blogged about is the We Are City Summit. And that happened, I believe, back in September. Is that correct?
Sounds right, yeah.
What were your takeaways from that particular event? Who was there? And
I really like the way that Michael Kaufman and John Beeler look at things. And to me, those guys are just such exceptional thought leaders in our community. And I really admire and look up to them. And I'm honored to be working with them on a few different projects. They talk about baseline, distinct, and exceptional. That every city needs to sort of determine what are the baseline, distinct, and exceptional elements of that city. The baseline is, roads, sewage. But in many people, baseline would be mass transit, right? Depending mm-hmm. on the size of the city.
Right.
And so identifying what is baseline to a city. A good city has to, maybe an opera is, maybe it's not. But distinct then becomes what are you doing differently than any other city? What are you known for? And maybe sports capital or something like that for us. I think we can be known as sort of, more around the entrepreneurial side of it's a distinctly exceptional potential, in terms of a place to start a business. Exceptional then is being better than anyone else. So it may be that somebody else, it's a great place to start a business, but then we do it better here.
Mm-hmm.
So distinct is different. Exceptional is superior. And baseline is, this is just, if you don't have this, then you're not even on the list of cities that I will consider. Right.
So in that summit, there was some discussion around where we would fit or what the brand for Indianapolis would be.
Yeah, there's a lot of debate, and I've been thinking about this a lot and writing about it a lot because I'm trying to wrap my head around it, is what is the purpose of Indianapolis? We had a clear purpose for a while. It was to be sports capital. I think that was our purpose for a while. Well, we accomplished that. And then it was kind of like convention capital. Okay, that's not as meaningful, but okay, that's fine. What's our purpose now? We've got a great foundation. We've got great people here. We've got pretty good infrastructure. I think we need to solve some of these transit issues, but we seem to have a mayor and a leadership that is focusing on it. What is our brand now? And brand always comes from purpose. You can't just create a brand out of thin air. It has to have meaning behind it. And so I think that we could sit down at some point and tell ourselves sort of a new story beyond sports and conventions. And in that story, I think we could find our purpose.
Did that summit help clear? I mean, is that going to be an ongoing thing? Because there's a number of organizations coming together in that summit to examine those issues.
Yeah.
Is that going to be maybe an annual event or what? And I mean, once you move or once you define that purpose, I mean, that sort of directs resources, that has a lot of implications. Do you feel that there was movement made?
I felt like it was foundational, meaning let's begin the conversation. I think that John and the other organizers would probably agree. I don't think its purpose, the We Are City Summit, was to necessarily walk out with these are the three things we need to do.
Okay.
I think it was more to start the conversation around baseline, distinct, and exceptional. And then put a lot of ideas out there and have people kind of figure out, where do these ideas fit? And the thing that we need to do is we do need to be selective about what we do as a city. We can't be good at everything. We got to say no to stuff, right? So I felt like it was the beginning of a conversation. I didn't feel like anybody walked out of there saying, okay, We're going to do mass transit, you know. We're going to, you know, connect the restore the waterways. I mean, these things were happening already, kind of, you know.
Right, right.
But lots of great ideas, lots of little, to me, that was more like a spark session. It was just like, oh, you know, Huber gets up there and talks about, well, look at this great land over here by the GM plant across the river that could be developed, you know.
Another of your blog entries talked about you were a judge for Indie Startup Weekend.
Yeah.
Was that just recently?
I guess it was probably about 2 months ago.
Okay. We actually had somebody on maybe a year or two ago talking about it, that in Indie Startup Weekends, but remind us what happens.
Yeah, it's such a great event. Basically, a bunch of people get together on, I think, Friday morning, and they all come with their ideas, and they say, hey, we're going to do something, and they all pitch to each other. And then eventually some ideas are kind of voted up and teams are formed around that idea. So I might have an idea for, you know, this awesome app for this radio show, whatever it might be, right? Mm-hmm. And so I then have a team, and then we kind of look to have diversity across the team. Do you have a designer, developer? Do you have like a visionary? And then they start working with mentors who are people like me and other people in the tech industry that have experience with businesses and starting businesses through the weekend. And then on Sunday, they pitch to the judges, which I was a judge at the recent one at the Speakeasy. And those judges then score them, then go back and they tally the scores, and then they go out and say, here's who won. But the main thing is even the people that don't win, a lot of times those are the ones that end up
they actually go on. And
yeah.
About how many people were involved with this last time?
I think there was about 50 or 60. I mean, it's a commitment.
So does that turn into maybe what, 10 organizations that come out of it, or 10 groups that form, 10, 12?
More like 6 or 7.
Oh, okay. Okay. So they're bigger.
Yeah, okay. But I mean, when I mean 50 to 60, I mean, that includes like the organizers, that includes the mentors, that includes the judges. So there may only be like 40 participants.
And is that done annually or semi-annually? Or
I think twice a year, maybe three times. Yeah.
Do you, just right off the bat, do you know where people get more information?
Startupweekend.com.
Okay, startupweekend.com. And where can we get more information on NICE grants to follow up, you know, the progress and what's happening?
I would just type in NICE grants to Google, or you can go to smallboxweb.com, and there's a link from our homepage.
Great. And your homepage is?
Smallboxweb.com.
Okay, great.
My personal blog's just my name, jebbanner.com.
Okay. I absolutely enjoyed your blog. I would recommend that people take a look. Very, very insightful. And, I mean, as this interview, very wide-ranging, you're involved in so many different things.
Well, I appreciate you having me on. I enjoyed talking.
Well, I thank you for joining us. So you're going to be evaluating these organizations, these 10, and then at the same time, are you actively trying to get other businesses together, or is it we're done with this round and we're going to evaluate the NICE grants going forward?
We're looking to do it again next March.
Okay.
So we're looking to make it an annual event. And we look to spend this year telling their stories. So we have 10 stories to tell. So we'll be updating them. You know, there'll probably be just little updates on our blog from time to time as we intersect with them and see where they're at. And then after that, we look to do another round and hopefully get other businesses involved as we go.
I was going to say, hopefully we can bring other businesses on board.
Like I said, steal it, run with it.
Absolutely.
You know,
and they could contact you the same way.
Yeah.
Through the website.
Yep.
Great. 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 Thank you, Jeb.
Thank you, Mike.
Very, very much for joining me this morning. Jeb Banner is the CEO and co-founder of Smallbox Culture Powered Marketing. I'd like to thank our engineer, Todd Meyer. Our executive producers are Glee Rennick May and Matt Hiblin. I want to thank you for joining us. Please join us again next Sunday morning for Spotlight Indianapolis.